A failure to respond. The ME/CFS extracellular vesicle exercise study by Court Johnson, June 8th, 2024. Extracellular vesicles, EV, have been a relatively new introduction to the chronic fatigue ME/CFS field. They popped up first in 2018, and since then, at least 8 studies have surveyed them in ME/CFS. The Ludovic Guillotot Maureen Hansen NIH-funded group has led the way with 4 studies, ranging in size from 30 to 1,000 nanometers. Extracellular vesicles are vanishingly small. A human hair is 80,000 to 100,000 nanometers wide. Packages that are regularly being emitted by our cells. They're so tiny that it took the development of electron microscopes and ultracentrifuges to find them. But once they were found, they turned out to be everywhere, and they pack a punch. Our cells communicate with the rest of the body by emitting EVs, filled with proteins, amino acids, lipids, DNA, and RNA. They can affect many processes in the body, including immune and metabolic regulation. Because their composition reflects what's happening in the moment, studies assess their protein proteomics content, gene expression, or transcriptomics, etc., to get a snapshot of how the body is responding. In the paper, Dysregulation of Extracellular Vesicle Protein Cargo in Female Myalgic Encephalomyelitis Chronic Fatigue Syndrome Cases and Sedentary Controls in Response to Maximal Exercise, Guillotot in Maureen Hansen's group exclaimed how exercise affects these strange communication devices in ME/CFS. Their hypothesis was that studying EVs released during and after exercise would help inform what happens during exercise, and what may be causing the post-exertional malaise that people with ME/CFS experience. The study. The NIH-funded study involved 18 females with ME/CFS and 17 age and BMI-matched sedentary controls. Blood samples were collected immediately before an exercise test to exhaustion, and then 15 minutes and 24 hours later, we've seen exercise affect everything from gene expression to proteins and lipids at the molecular level. Would that extend to EVs? A failure to respond. It did. Guillotot et al. Found the ME/CFS patients' EVs were highly disrupted, and in a familiar way, compared to the sedentary but healthy controls, the study found 1. Fewer proteins in EVs after exercise in patients compared to controls. 2. Reduced protein expression in EVs after exercise in ME/CFS patients. 63 increased EV proteins in ME/CFS versus 178 in healthy controls. 3. Delayed response. A delayed increase in the abundance of several EV proteins after exercise. The authors concluded that the ME/CFS patients exhibited a failure to mount an adequate response to exercise at the molecular level. The theme was a familiar one. In her exercise studies, Hansen's group has found the same pattern with regard to proteins, metabolites, and gene expression in ME/CFS patients. For some reason, their systems are simply unable at the molecular level to respond to exercise. Their systems may be responding in a way that's injurious as well, but the broad theme is that at the most basic of levels, the molecular level, ME/CFS patients' bodies simply aren't responding much to it. It's as if they're kind of ignoring that it's happening at all. Given how stressful exercise is, that could explain a lot. One wonders how much problems with energy production at a systemic level could play a role in that. Check out some reports from earlier blogs on Hansen's team's findings. Gene expression. As 102 genes in the healthy controls immune cells exploded into action, the genes in the immune cells of the ME/CFS patients lay low. They basically sat the exercise bout out. no significant changes in gene expression were found. Metabolites. A small urine metabolomics study that found an explosion in altered metabolites in healthy controls, but no significant change in ME/CFS patients' metabolites 24 hours after exercise. Proteins. Germain's study found exercise triggered a much bigger change in the proteins found in the sedentary but healthy controls than in the ME/CFS patients. The healthy controls responded to the rigors of the second exercise test by scrambling their protein mix more. Lacking the same ability to do so, the ME/CFS patients did not. And now we can add EVs to the mix. Digging deeper into the study, the researchers found more EVs in ME/CFS. Despite the fact that the EVs in the ME/CFS patients didn't respond as fully to exercise, apparently ME/CFS patients' cells were shedding them more frequently as more EVs overall were found. The authors didn't explain why this might be so, but did note that higher concentrations of EVs have been found in other conditions, including Alzheimer's and vascular conditions that affect the brain. The crazy coagulation cascade. Looking at the pathways activated or not activated in the EVs, the researchers found that exercise triggered an increase in coagulation activity in both ME/CFS patients and the healthy controls, but also that the coagulation pathways found were different in the people with ME/CFS. Several coagulation cascade proteins, factors 8 and 13, AI, fibronectin, were significantly decreased 15 minutes later in ME/CFS. Likewise, several coagulation factors that have been associated with exercise in healthy humans were not increased after exercise in the ME/CFS patients. In a disease characterized by increased levels of microclotting, the reduction in some parts of the coagulation cascade seemed surprising. On the other hand, factors associated with fibrinogen, FGA, FGB, and FGG, which forms the actual clots, were positively correlated with increased fatigue and post-exertional malaise after exercise in ME/CFS patients. Likewise, proteins involved in platelets, platelet degranulation, platelet aggregation, as well as wound healing, were strongly correlated with the muscle pain in ME/CFS. Similarly, increased levels of plasminogen, a new factor which raised a lot of interest in a recent ME/CFS study, were strongly correlated with the percentage of time spent reclining or lying down, which itself is, of course, associated with how severe ME/CFS is. The authors proposed that the increased levels of plasminogen reflected an increase in clot-busting activity, or fibrinolysis. The author stated, quote, "The altered temporal profiles of clotting cascade factors in ME/CFS EVs post-exercise reveals a disruption in the hemostatic balance between clot formation and fibrinolysis." That suggested, if I'm reading it right, that clot formation during exercise is being inhibited in ME/CFS, just the opposite of what we might have expected. On the other hand, it might reflect the attempts by the body to attack large numbers of difficult-to-break-down clots. Whatever is happening, the study suggested, as others have, that blood clotting and coagulation are messed up in ME/CFS. Indeed, the authors wrote, quote, "Other recent reports corroborate the importance of coagulation processes in ME/CFS," end quote. They noted that past studies have found a tenfold increase in microclots in ME/CFS. Clotting, with all its factors, is a very complex process. Time will tell how EVs affect coagulation in ME/CFS, but this study suggests something has gone awry with that process in ME/CFS, and EVs are playing a part in that. The muscles. Muscle contraction is kind of the cat's meow when it comes to exercise. Because muscles generate force by contracting, Anything that disrupts the muscle's ability to contract is going to impact one's ability to exercise. Perhaps not surprisingly, a pathway analysis found that EVs involved in muscle contraction were in the top 10 most altered pathways shortly after exercise in the people with ME/CFS. Myosin light chain factors help the muscles contract and help repair muscle damage after exercise. Of all the proteins found in the EVs of healthy controls, they showed the largest increase after exercise. Myosin light chain factors in people with ME/CFS took a different tack, however. They were either reduced or did not increase. Similarly, while muscle-related tissue protein enrichment was found after exercise in the healthy controls, no such enrichment was found in the people with ME/CFS. Increased levels of tropomyosin, tropomodulin, and calmodulin from baseline to 24 hours post-exercise were strongly correlated with higher levels of muscle pain in ME/CFS. In the end, the same pattern seen in EVs overall was found in the muscles: a failure to adequately respond to exercise. A decreased or delayed EV muscle response was associated with more symptoms in ME/CFS. While the authors didn't say so, delayed muscle repair processes might result in more muscle damage, pain after exercise, i.e. PEM. Note that Rob Wust, in his long COVID muscle biopsy study, found that exercise produced similar findings, including frequently damaged and even dying muscle tissue in some patients, and an increased emphasis on the dirty and inefficient anaerobic energy production system. Wust is currently engaged in a similar study in ME/CFS. Trash buildup, the clusterin factor. A protein called clusterin really stuck out for the researchers. The only factor they devoted an entire section of the paper to, clusterin, could play a central node in the fatigue pain problems occurring in ME/CFS. It was the only protein that was both positively correlated with the degree of fatigue pre-exercise and with the amount of muscle and joint pain after exercise. It also decreased in abundance after exercise in the healthy controls, but not in people with ME/CFS. Clusterin is involved in a slew of cleanup processes that other studies suggest could be in play in ME/CFS. It clears out cellular debris, helps remove old and damaged cells, and helps fold proteins correctly. In short, something like clusterin seems to make sense in a disease in which unusually shaped amyloid proteins in the brain and clots may be present, and problems with autophagy, mitochondrial cleanup, may be occurring. Since intense exercise always produces small injuries in the muscles, cleanup processes probably play an important role in the post-exercise period. Plus, increased CLU levels have shown up in a variety of neurodegenerative and inflammatory diseases, inflammatory myopathy, rheumatoid arthritis, etc., and have been linked with cognitive issues. It was no wonder that the authors reported, quote, "In our study, elevated CLU, or clusterin, in EVs post-exercise is associated with worse myalgia, arthralgia, and fatigue, indicating that this protein may have an important role in ME/CFS pathophysiology," end quote. Immune trouble. The stress of exercise could be reactivating herpes viruses or other pathogens which tend to reactivate during stress. To that end, the researchers found evidence of upregulated immune pathways that respond to antigen presentation, i.e., the appearance of a pathogen or other substance that tweaks the immune system. Conclusion. The Hansen group has done it again. For at least the fourth time, they've shown that, at the molecular level, people with ME/CFS are not only not responding normally to exercise, but in key ways they simply aren't responding at all. Whether one is measuring proteins, metabolites, gene expression, or EVs, a normal response to exercise is, for some reason, not kicking in during exercise or afterwards. While nobody knows what is causing that, the fact that it's been demonstrated to happen in different compartments in different studies suggests the group is on the right track. The EV study highlighted dysfunctions and some key factors at play in exercise, including coagulation, muscle contraction, cleanup or trash removal, and immune issues. It's great to see the exertion problems in ME/CFS validated at a molecular level. The important next step would presumably involve trying to understand why, when the stress of exercise appears, ME/CFS systems are unable to respond normally. The NIH's Molecular Transducers of Physical Activity in Humans program, otherwise known as MOTRPAC, get it? Kind of? Might provide some clues. In 2016, MOTRPAC initiative was designed to track exercise's impact on biological molecules, which, if I'm not mistaken, Hansen's studies just did. Two of the 19 original grants went to two Stanford researchers, Michael Snyder and Stephen Montgomery, to identify and characterize all the molecules that form during or after exercise. And Snyder has been involved in ME/CFS research. Time will tell, but Hansen's group has got us off to a great start.